Okay, so lately it seems like everywhere you turn, there's another tech buzzword being thrown around. And API is definitely high up on that list.
It really is.
And you hear about APIs powering so much of what we use every day, but maybe you're not quite sure what the magic behind them actually is.
Right.
So today we are taking a deep dive into this world of APIs, these like invisible connections that make our digital lives tick, and exploring a framework that's kind of changing the game of API development called FastAPI.
Yeah, APIs, they really are, like you said, kind of these unsung heroes. I mean, think about it. They're the reason that you can order food with just a couple of taps on your phone, or like book a ride, even control the smart devices in your house.
And it's that seamless experience, right, that makes APIs so fascinating. It's like, how did that even work? So to demystify all of this, how about we start with the basics? What exactly IS and API?
So API, it stands for Application Programming Interface. And basically, at its core, it's just a way for different software systems to communicate with each other. So it's like you can think of it as a set of rules and specifications that say, okay, this is how you're going to talk to me. And then different applications can understand each other, regardless of like how they're built or what language they're written in.
Oh, okay, so it's kind of like a universal translator, but for software.
Exactly. Like, let's say you're using a weather app on your phone. When you open up that app and you search for your city, the app's sending a request, like in the background, to the Weather Services API. And it's saying, hey, can I get the current conditions, please? And then the API sends back that information in a structured way that your app can then understand and display.
Wow, and this is happening constantly for all sorts of things. Like every time I check social media, every time I
All the time.
Do anything on my phone. No wonder they're everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Everything from checking your bank balance to sharing photos online. It all involves APIs working behind the scenes.
This is where it starts to feel like we're like peeking behind the curtain of the internet and seeing how all these gears are working and how it all comes together.
Exactly.
So, to really wrap our heads around this, I think we need to understand this idea of client-server architecture, right? Because I've heard that term thrown around.
Yeah, it's a very common term. And to make it easy, think about a restaurant. So you're the client, right? And the kitchen is like the server. So you want to place your order, you give your order to the waiter, the waiter takes it to the kitchen prepares the food, and then the waiter brings it back to you.
So in the API world, the client is like the app that's making the request,
Exactly.
and the server is the application that's actually providing that data. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So your client, whether it's like a web browser or a mobile app, it makes a request to the server, and the server then processes that request and sends back the data. So the API is kind of like the intermediary there.
So it's like taking our order to the kitchen and then bringing back our food.
Exactly.
But in this case, the food is actually data, right?
Yes. And an API, just like a menu, defines what kind of data the server can provide. So you can think of it as like a menu of options, essentially.
Got it. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. But how does this communication actually happen? Like, what language are they speaking, these APIs?
That's where we get to HTTP. It stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol.
Catchy?
Yeah, it's kind of a mouthful, but it's essentially the foundation of communication for the web. It's how we exchange information on the internet.
So every time I'm typing in a website or I'm clicking a link, I'm essentially sending an HTTP request without even knowing it.
And these requests, they're structured in a certain way. They include things like, what kind of request is it? Is it asking for data or is it sending data? And the URL, of
So the
course.
URL is like the
The
address.
address, yeah, exactly.
That makes
And
sense.
then just like if you were to send a letter, you need a return address, right? The server has to respond somehow. And that's where HTTP status codes come in.
Yes. The infamous 404 page not found
Exactly.
is a classic example.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them, but
Okay, so there's more, there's a whole language of these codes.
yeah. And they tell you, was it successful or was there an error or anything like that?
So it's like a secret language that developers use to figure out what's going on behind the scenes.
Exactly. It's super important for anyone who's working with APIs to understand these codes because it gives you insights into what's happening.
This is fascinating. We're like uncovering the hidden language of the internet here.
Yeah, kind of.
But how do we make sure that these requests, these API requests, are actually structured in a way that makes sense?
Right, and that's where RESTful services come in. So REST stands for Representational State Transfer. And it's essentially a set of guidelines for designing these APIs that are scalable, reliable, easy to maintain.
Okay, so RESTful services. RESTful services. It sounds so elegant, like we're about to have like digital tea and discuss API etiquette or something.
Right. Yeah. Maybe not quite tea and etiquette, but it is about bringing a sense of order to this API world. It's all about treating everything as a resource.
Okay.
You've probably heard that word thrown around as well.
Okay. I'm intrigued. So in this context, what exactly qualifies as a resource?
So think of it this way. Any piece of information that an API can provide can be a resource. So that could be something like a user's profile, like on a social media app.
Okay.
Or a product in a catalog.
Okay.
A weather forecast. Each one of these resources is assigned a unique identifier, like a URL, which we've already talked about a little bit, and that acts as its address on the web.
So if I want to access a specific piece of information, I need to know its unique URL.
Yes, exactly. And the beauty of FEST is that it uses standard HTTP verbs to interact with these resources.
Okay.
So you already touched on GET a little bit earlier.
Right. So GET is one of them.
But there are a few more, like POST, PUTTY, and DELETE.
Okay. So break those down for me. Like, what do each of those mean?
Yeah. So think of it as actions that you can perform on these resources. So GET is basically retrieving information.
Okay.
Like looking up an address, essentially.
Okay.
POTY is for creating something new, like sending a letter.
Okay.
POTY is like updating an existing record. So like you're changing the information at that address. And then DELETE is pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Exactly. Bye. So it's gone.
So I'm starting to understand now how these verbs, they create this like common language for how we actually interact with this data across different applications.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which I imagine simplifies the whole process quite a bit.
A lot. And that's one of the main reasons why REST has become so popular, because it's this consistent, predictable way to design APIs, and it just makes it so much easier to understand and build.
Got it. And speaking of building APIs, I want to touch on URLs again for a second.
Yeah.
Because we've mentioned them a lot, but I think it's important to understand that they're more than just web addresses.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, they're like the blueprints of your requests. They tell...
Yeah.
They guide the information to the right place, and they have a very specific structure that helps the server understand what it is that you're looking for.
Okay, so there's a method to this madness. It's not just random characters and slashes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So break down for me, like, the anatomy of a URL. What are all the different components?
Right. So every URL starts with a scheme. You've got HTTP or HTTPS. Those are the most common ones. And that tells the browser how to communicate with the server.
Okay.
Then you have the host, which is like the domain name.
Right.
Or the IP address. That's where the server is actually located.
Right.
So think of that as like the city in an address.
Okay.
Then you have the path, which points to a specific resource on the server. So it's like the street name. And then you can have query parameters, which are like additional instructions, you can say. So that might be something like filtering information or sorting information.
So it's like adding an apartment number to our address.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's a lot that goes into it. It's pretty amazing how much information is packed into a single URL.
Yeah. And it's a really important concept to understand, especially when you're designing APIs, because the way that you structure your URLs can really impact the performance.
Right. Okay. This is all making much more sense now. But before we move on to talking about FAST API specifically, can you walk me through a real-world example of how this request and response cycle actually works in practice, using everything that we've learned so far?
Sure. So let's say you're using like a music streaming app.
Okay.
And you search for a specific song.
Yeah.
So your app sends a request, an HTTP request, to the streaming services API. And that request would include the URL for the song you're trying to access.
So it's like saying, hey, API, can you go and fetch this for me?
Exactly. The server then receives that request, it processes it. And if everything checks out, like authentication, if you're authorized to listen to that song, if that song is actually available, then it sends back a response. And that response includes a status code, remember those.
Yes.
To say whether it was successful or not. And if it was, the requested data, which in this case would be the song, and you can listen to your music.
And that's how, like, in a nutshell, we go from searching to actually hearing it in our headphones. Mm. It's incredible how quickly that happens.
Yeah. And that whole process might seem simple, but, you know, when you're dealing with millions of users, potentially, all making requests at the same time, that's where optimizing for speed and efficiency becomes super important.
And that brings us to FAST API, right?
Yeah.
This framework that's designed to like build these lightning fast APIs.
Exactly. Yeah. It takes advantage of all these modern Python features to really make your APIs faster and more efficient.
So FAST API, it's like it's streamlining that entire process of building an API, just making everything faster and smoother.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that makes it so fast is this idea of asynchronous programming.
Okay, asynchronous programming. We've heard that term thrown around a lot.
Okay.
Can you break that down for me? What is that, and why is that such a big deal for API performance?
So think of it this way. Imagine you're at a coffee shop, right?
Okay.
So in a synchronous model, the barista would take your order, they'd make your coffee, and then they would move on to the next person in line. But with asynchronous programming, it's like having multiple baristas working at the same time.
Oh.
So one barista can be taking orders while another one is brewing the coffee and another one's handling payments. Everything's happening kind of in parallel.
So instead of waiting for one task to finish before moving on to the next one, it can kind of handle multiple things at the same time.
Exactly. And this is a big deal for APIs, especially when you're dealing with things like fetching data from a database or making external API calls. Because those are things that, the application has to wait for a response.
Right. Okay. So it's like having a whole team of expert chefs in the kitchen that are all working together seamlessly to prepare your meal much faster.
Exactly. And the best part is, that's not even all. So FastAPI also really excels at data validation, for example, and documentation.
Oh, okay.
So with its support for these things called type hints in Python, it's basically like having this really strict grammar checker for your code. So it can catch errors early on, often even before they reach your users.
Oh, nice. So it's not just about speed, it's about building like more reliable, more robust APIs from the ground up.
Exactly. And on top of that, FastAPI automatically generates this interactive documentation based on your code.
Oh, wow.
So as a developer, you don't have to spend all this time writing out separate documentation.
Right, that's a huge time saver.
Huge time saver, and it's always up to date.
It's like having a translator built in
Exactly.
so that anyone can understand it.
Exactly.
This is amazing.
Yeah, and I think another really cool feature is something called dependency injection.
Okay.
It sounds complicated, but essentially what it does is it helps you write code that's cleaner and easier to maintain.
So FastAPI isn't just about building APIs quickly, it's about building them the right way.
Yes, exactly. And it really encourages best practices. So you end up with these APIs that are not just fast, but they're maintainable, they're scalable. It's
Yeah.
really a joy to work with.
This has been incredibly insightful. We've covered a lot of ground today, from the very basics of what an API is to these more, I'd say, advanced features of FastAPI. So for our listeners out there who are maybe feeling a little bit inspired and they want to dive in and learn more, where would you recommend they start?
Yeah, so I always recommend the FastAPI documentation.
Okay.
It's surprisingly user-friendly, even if you're just starting out.
Okay.
And there are tons of resources online, communities where you can ask questions and find tutorials and examples.
Awesome. And who knows, maybe someday soon, our listeners will be building the next generation of these lightning fast APIs that are powering everything around us.
Exactly. Yeah, the possibilities really are endless. And as we rely more and more on these interconnected services and apps, that need for efficient, robust APIs, it's only going to grow.
Absolutely. And it sounds like FastAPI is going to be right there at the forefront of it all.
Yeah.
Well, it has been an absolute pleasure exploring this fascinating world with you today.
Yeah, likewise. Always fun to geek out about APIs.
And for listeners, as always, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep learning, and who knows what depths we'll dive into next time.